ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंद गोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो क्रिएशन चैप्टर 1 क्वेश्चंस बाय द सेजेस टेक्स्ट नंबर 17। प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी। तस्य कर्माणि उदाराणि परिगीतानि सूरिभिः ब्रूहि नः श्रद्धधानानां लीलया ददतः कला। तस्य कर्माणि उदाराणि परिगीतानि सूरिभिः ब्रूहि नः श्रद्धधानानां लीलया ददतः कला। तस्य कर्माण्युदाराणि परिगीतानि सूरिभिः ब्रूहि नः श्रद्धधानानां लीलया ददतः कला। तस्य कर्माण्युदाराणि परिगीतानि सूरिभिः ब्रूहि नः श्रद्धधानानां लीलया ददतः कला। प्लीज रिपीट। तस्य कर्माणि उदाराणि ब्रूहि नः श्रद्धधानानां माताजी। तस्य कर्माणि उदाराणि Please repeat. Tasya. His. Karmani. Transcendental acts. Udarani. Magnanimous. Parigitani. Broadcast. Suribhihi. By the great souls. Bruhi. Please speak. Naha. Unto us. Shraddhananam. Ready to receive with respect. Leelaya. Pastimes. Dadataha. Advented. Kalaha. Incarnations. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. His transcendental acts are magnificent and gracious, and great learned sages like Narada sing of them. Please, therefore, speak to us who are eager to hear about the adventures He performs in His various incarnations. Please repeat. His transcendental acts are magnificent and gracious, and great learned sages like Narada sing of them. Please, therefore, speak to us who are eager to hear about the adventures He performs in His various incarnations. Purport. The personality of Godhead is never inactive, as some less intelligent persons suggest. His works are magnificent and magnanimous. His creations, both material and spiritual, are all wonderful and contain all variegatedness. They are described nicely by such liberated souls as Srila Narada, Vyasa, Valmiki, Devala, Asita, Madhva, Sri Chaitanya, Ramanuj, Vishnu Swami, Nimbark, Sridhar, Vishwanath, Baladev, Bhakti Vinod, Siddhanta Saraswati, and many other learned and self-realized souls. These creations, both material and spiritual, are full of opulence, beauty, and knowledge. But the spiritual realm is more magnificent due to its being full of knowledge, bliss, and eternity. The material creations are manifested for some time as perverted shadows of the spiritual kingdom and can be likened to cinemas. They attract people of less intelligent caliber who are attracted by false things. Such foolish men have no information of the reality, and they take it for granted that the false material manifestation is the all in all. But more intelligent men, guided by sages like Vyasa and Narada, know that the eternal kingdom of God is more delightful, larger, and eternally full of bliss and knowledge. Those who are not conversant with the activities of the Lord and His transcendental realm are sometimes favored by the Lord in His adventures as incarnations, wherein He displays the eternal bliss of His association in the transcendental realm. By such activities, He attracts the conditioned souls of the material world. Some of these conditioned souls are engaged in the false enjoyment of material senses, and others in simply negating their real life in the spiritual world. These less intelligent persons are known as karmis or fruity workers, and jnanis or dry mental speculators. But above these two classes of men is the transcendentalist, known as sattvata, or the devotee, who is busy neither with rampant material activity nor with material speculation. He is engaged in the positive service of the Lord, and thereby he derives the highest spiritual benefit unknown to the karmis and jnanis. As the supreme controller of both the material and spiritual worlds, the Lord has different incarnations of unlimited categories. Incarnations like Brahma, Rudra, Manu, Prithu, and Vyasa are His material qualitative incarnations. But His incarnations like Ram, Narasimha, Varaha, and Vaman are His transcendental incarnations. Lord Shri Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations, and he is therefore the cause of all causes. Om Adnanati Mirandasya Dhananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurvani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I offer my humble blessings to all of you, especially Savas Prabhu and all the senior disciples of Prabhupada, for giving me this opportunity to serve all of you through this medium. So the basic question is, what is the Supreme Absolute Truth? And Prabhupada always referred Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, almost every time. He never thought of printing cost of, you know, so many pages if we write so many times the same thing, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, nowadays people think so much, nowadays, you know, authors. But Prabhupada wants to emphasize and make this point clear. To an extent, we will never forget that Krishna is the Supreme Person. Person means he is active. He has a mother. He has a father. He has many friends. He has lovers. He has wives. He has children. So that's the basic idea, that God is not inactive. God is active. It is said, Eko Devo Nitya Lila Nurukto Bhakta Vyapi Bhakta Rudyantaratma. The Supreme Absolute Truth is one, and he is a person, and he is always engaged in magnanimous and wonderful pastimes with his associates. Nitya Lila Nurukto. And he reciprocates with his devotees according to their desires. According to the desire of the devotee, the Supreme Personality of Godhead reciprocates. And that is the reason Krishna takes so many incarnations, just to fulfill the desire of his devotees. So that's why we see, just to reciprocate the desire and love of Prahlad Maharaj, the way his love was, the reciprocation was in terms of Narsingha Dev. And there are so many wonderful pastimes, you know, Varaha Dev, Vaman Dev, Lord Sri Ram. So Krishna comes just in order to fulfill the desires of his dearmost devotees. So all these pastimes of Krishna are nicely described by great sages, like Arjun says in Bhagavad Gita that Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. You are the Supreme Absolute Truth. You are the Supreme Brahman. You are Supreme Purifier. You are the Supreme Abode. And you are the Supreme Absolute Truth. And Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum. You are the original personality of Godhead. And then he says, it's not just because I have seen your universal form, because I have seen your this Virat Roop. It is not just because I am saying. Ahustvam Rushya Sarve Devarshi Naradas Tatha Asita Devala Vyasa Swayam Chaiva Bravishime. So Arjuna is saying, not just because I am saying, but great personalities like Asita, Devala and Vyas, they all also confirm the same. They all also have glorified you the same way, and they all have described your glorious pastimes. Like in today's purport, we are reading, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that all these great personalities describe these wonderful pastimes of Krishna. And Prabhupada is including the names of, you know, Madhvacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramanuja, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, Sridhar, Vishwanath, Baladev, Bhakti Vinod, Siddhanta Saraswati. And for us, the most important name is Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because of his mercy, we are able to get access to these wonderful pastimes, which are very rare. These pastimes, even to hear these pastimes is very rare. So, Krishna, along with his unlimited incarnations, he is performing these pastimes in both the worlds, in the spiritual world and in the material world. So, in Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter, it describes how the spiritual world and how the material world is designed. Urdhva Moola Adashaka Ashwattam Prahuraveyam Chandamsi Yasya Parnani Yastam Vedasa Vedavit. Krishna is saying that there is a banyan tree. The real banyan tree is resembling like us, the spiritual world. And the material world is like perverted reflection of that banyan tree. So the material world, the tree of the material world resembles, the root is at the top and the branches and twigs and leaves, everything is spread downward. And that tree is so complicated that you cannot overcome yourself. That tree can be overcome only by the weapon of detachment. Can that tree be cut down? So Krishna is telling that this world, the tree of material world, is so complicated. At the same time, this world has four major problems. What is the real problem? The real problem is the one which is common to all. Nobody wants it, but nobody can avoid it. So what are those four problems which everyone, every living entity has? Nobody wants it, but everyone has to have them. Nobody can avoid them. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, evam dukkhanu doshanam. So birth, death, old age and disease. And that is the real problem with the material tree. And we are, you know, suffering in the cycle of birth and death. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jathare shayanam. So we have to take birth again and again. We'll be thrown, according to our previous activities, laws of karma, we'll be thrown in the womb of different types of mothers. So Prabhupada is mentioning here in this purport that the material creations are temporary, but the spiritual world is more magnificent because it is full of knowledge, bliss and eternity. And those souls who do not cooperate or who want to be independent enjoyers, who want to be independent God, those who are envious of Krishna, they are given a chance in the material world to, you know, exercise their ability to become God. So everyone is given their own house where, you know, they will have children and somebody will become a boss and everyone will have a subordinate where he can exercise his so-called foolish mentality of being so-called God. So everyone is, you know, tiny little gods here in this material world. So now Prabhupada in the next paragraph, he is condemning how karmis and jnanis, karmis means fruity workers, and jnanis or dry mental speculators, they are so inferior as compared to the devotees. So karmis means fruity workers, they always want something from God. That's why they refer God as Bhagwan, because you have so much wealth, because you are having so much Aishwarya, you are, you know, most beautiful. So most beautiful, you have most wealth and everything in abundance. So everyone comes, those fruity workers or karmis, they go to demigods, or sometimes they go to even Vishnu Tattva with their own material desires. So they want material gain. For example, I think this story is told by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that one time a boy went to a temple and he said, "Bhagwan, please pass my examination." Then, you know, he came every year, "Bhagwan, please pass my examination." Then he came, "Bhagwan, please help me get a job." Then he got a job. Then after a few years he came, "Bhagwan, please give me a wife." After a few years he came, "Bhagwan, please give me a nice son." And then he disappeared. He did not come for a few years. And here Bhagwan, the deity, is wondering where did he disappear. After a few years, the person came and he said, "Bhagwan, please, now please pass my child's examination. Now please, please pass my child's examination." So the cycle, it's like a cycle. All they want is material gain. "Please give me this, please give me that." And they are never satisfied. And they consider Krishna, or they consider God as a waiter who will fulfill all their orders. The second aspect, the second type of persons, as described by Prabhupada, is dry speculators or jnanis. So jnanis or mental speculators, they are very offensive. According to Vaishnava tradition, Mayavad or these jnanis, you know, those who do word jugglery, they like to, you know, misinterpret the teachings of the Vedas, or they want to misinterpret Bhagavad Gita. They are considered offenders because ultimately they want to become one with God. They want to be one with Supreme Absolute Truth. So the impersonalists are the ones who say the Supreme Absolute Truth is nirvikar, nirakar, nirgun. It doesn't have any form, or it doesn't have any guna, any quality. So that is very condemned, because ultimately their aim is to become one with God, which is not possible. It is like Prabhupada gives example, if a green parrot enters a green dense tree, from a distance it may appear that the tree and the parrot merged, but it never happens. The person who can see from close distance, he can see the tree has its own separate existence and the parrot has its separate existence. So the maximum benefit mental speculators or jnanis can achieve is they can only merge in Brahman effulgence. The effulgence that is coming from the body of Krishna, they can go there and they can practice nothing. So because they think that there is no guna, there are no activities, the Supreme Absolute Truth is inactive. That's their concept. So they go there and they just stay there. So what benefit they get is only they get relieved from the anxieties of the material world. So they know one thing, that this material world is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. That thing they have realized. They don't want the miseries of the world. At the same time, they do not want to serve Krishna in the Vaikuntha planet. So that's why they escape. They are called escapists. So Prabhupada also mentions Buddhism. Buddhism is one step beyond Mayavad, or one step worse than impersonalism. Because Buddhism tells that your body is the cause of all misery, so get rid of the material body. So they do not say, you know, perform suicide. Because if you have material desire, then that material desire will manifest in another body. You have to take another material body. So Buddhic philosophy is that you should become desireless. So Mayavadi conception is that everything is one, and Buddhist conception is everything is zero. So Prabhupada also condemns this philosophy. And in Bhagavad Gita, we see that in 15th chapter, Krishna gives wonderful explanation how Krishna is beyond even, you know, the personalities who are liberated. Because impersonalists think that after liberation, they become one with God. But Krishna in 15th chapter says, Dvavimo purushau loke kshara akshara evacha. Kshara sarvani bhutani kutastha akshara uchyate. So Krishna is saying, there are two types of persons. There are two types of beings. Kshara and akshara. Fallible and infallible. It can also be seen as nitya siddhas who are liberated and nitya baddhas who are eternally conditioned. So Krishna is giving two distinct categories of living beings. But he says that uttamaha purushastu anyaha paramatmeti udarata yo loka trayamavesha bibatti avyay ishvara. So Krishna is saying, but there is anya, there is someone else, the third person who is even beyond kshara, even beyond the liberated souls, there is one person who is supreme soul, Paramatma. In this specific verse, Srila Prabhupada translates Paramatma as supreme soul, not super soul. So Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that that person is supreme and is soul. So supreme soul. So that person is, has entered all the three worlds and he is maintaining them. So there is a completely separate, distinct existence of that supreme person given in Bhagavad Gita. But Mayavadis, they don't like to see these verses. They like to only take the part that benefits their philosophy. That's why Prabhupada said it is Ardha Kukuta Nyaya. They want to only take the half of the chicken that gives the eggs, but they don't want to discard the other half, which is not possible. Prabhupada also mentions that impersonalists are like owls. An owl, in the daytime, it closes his eyes and then it asks, where is the sun? There is no sun here. And in the nighttime, when it's all dark, then it asks, show me the sun. Where is the sun? There is no sun. There is no existence as, such as sun. There is nothing like sun. So Prabhupada said, we have to invent a machine by which we can forcefully open the eyelids of these impersonalists. And Bhagavad Gita 12th chapter, verses 1, 2 and 3, Prabhupada mentions that, for the time immemorial, impersonalists have been making baseless arguments like owls. So Vaishnavism means unity in diversity. And Mayavad means destroy the diversity. So Vaishnavism, we respect the variegatedness. We understand that everything is different. Everything has its own existence. Like we see in Krishna's pastimes, Krishna had millions of cows. And Krishna knows the names of each and every cow. Krishna doesn't think these are only, you know, bunch of cows. Krishna is so specific. He knows the name of each and every cow. Each cow has her own special bodily features. They have their own face cuts. And it is nicely described in Vidagdha Madha that the cows also want to look good for Krishna. So they go and peep in the waters of Yamuna. So they have their own personalities and Krishna respects that personalities, their personalities. So Buddhism is like, they say everything is zero. Impersonalists say everything is one. It's like, suppose in this room, if suppose lights are not there and if we meet in the night time, everything will be dark. You cannot see the deities, you cannot see Prabhupada, you cannot see me. And in, at that time you may think that everything is one, because everything is dark. Just imagine, in the night time everything is pitch dark. Then you may say that everything is one. So that is the conception of Mayavad, impersonalist. They say that everything is one. And they do not respect the variegatedness. It is like, Srila Prabhupada tells one wonderful story, that a boy is suffering with some eye infection or cataract. And his uncle comes and the father says, my boy is crying and yelling and, you know, he is suffering from the eye infection. The first uncle suggests that, why don't you pluck out his eyes? The problem will be solved. The father says, are you rascal? Are you crazy or what? How can I make my own son blind? So the second uncle comes and he suggests that, why don't you just simply kill your son? Then you won't hear any, you know, cries and yelling. So these two examples resemble impersonalists and Buddhists. So Buddhists, they want to pluck out the eyes. It's like they want to negate their senses. They want to get rid of their senses. And they want to enter Brahma Jyoti. And they do not want to use their senses. It's like they want to pluck out the eyes. And Mayavadis or impersonalists, they are like they want to kill themselves. It's like they don't want desires. They don't want their own existence. It's like they want to commit spiritual suicide. That's why Prabhupada, we see, especially in Bhagavad Gita, he condemns these two philosophies. And Mayavad is Mayavad is condemned by even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So even the ultimate aim that Mayavadis can achieve after millions and millions of, you know, births of practice, the maximum they can achieve is they can go to Brahma Jyoti. And where there is only Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. There is only Shanti. It's like one time there was a couple, a husband and wife. And as usual, they used to fight sometimes. But one time they fought real bad. And they decided, you stay in your room, I stay in my room. No more talking. Because if we talk, then we fight. And it's too much of distress. So they decide, no more talking. A few days passed. And everything was Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Everything was peaceful. And they enjoyed it. They enjoyed for first week. They enjoyed for a few more days. And they were, you know, not talking at all. But then, after a few weeks, they realized that this platform of Shanti, of peace, is nice. But it's not funny. It doesn't have any... It's not that wonderful. So they decide to again, you know, come back to their original platform of love. Love is like a superset. Shanti is subset of love. Wherever there is love, Shanti comes along. Peace is always there in love. So they started to again, you know, talk and exchange, reciprocate their loving exchanges, because even though there are fights, but that's their natural behavior. So, you know, that's like Mayavadis, they go to the Brahma Jyoti, and after spending millions of years, they again decide, this is just nothing. Just sit here and Om Shanti Shanti, no prasadam, no kirtan, no nothing here. You know, it's better I go there and suffer down than just sit down and, you know, just negate the senses. So that's how a yogi falls down. Prabhupada explains the fall down of a yogi very nicely. And that's why we always refute, we always condemn Mayavad. So one time Prabhupada, a Mayavadi came to discuss with Prabhupada, and they had a long discussion, and it, you know, it became night time, and Prabhupada was, you know, completely refuting his arguments. He was completely blasting the Mayavadi person, and finally Mayavadi person said, okay, it's night time, can I stay in your temple? So Prabhupada said, yes, you can stay here if you want. So, you know, Prabhupada's disciples, So they allowed him to stay. That time the disciples came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, are you sure you want him to stay with in this premises? Prabhupada said, yes, but do not associate with him. So Prabhupada did not allow his disciples to associate. Next morning, Prabhupada found out that the person left, but before he left, he left so many flyers of his own Mayavadi program. So he left so many pamphlets. And the disciples came to Prabhupada saying, Prabhupada, see, that's what happens when we allow these people and they always want to do something weird like this. Prabhupada said, okay. But the disciples said, what can we do of these pamphlets? Should we throw them? Prabhupada said, no, don't throw them. Just keep them with you for now. But everyone was thinking what to do with those flyers, because we cannot just disrespect any spiritual path. We cannot just throw or dump anything. We cannot trash it. At the same time, it's completely something that we condemn. Vaishnavism does not accept Mayavad philosophy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Mayavad Bhashya Shunil Hail Sharvanash. Whoever will hear Mayavad, whoever will take interest in Mayavad philosophy, everything will be ruined. So Prabhupada, everyone was thinking what will be the action of Srila Prabhupada. So next morning, Prabhupada gave amazing Bhagavatam class, very strong, heavy class. He explained everything in detail about impersonalism, Mayavad, and how Vaishnavas are superior. And then Prabhupada asked the disciples, distribute all the pamphlets, distribute all those flyers, distribute among the audience. And everyone was shocked what Prabhupada is up to. So everyone got the pamphlets. And Prabhupada said, now, serve Mahaprasad on those flyers. So everyone nicely ate Mahaprasad on those flyers. So that's the greatness of Srila Prabhupada, that he can do and he can solve any problems. That's the actual sign of Nitya Siddha, that they never get affected. They are never defeated by any question. They have solution to every question of life. That is one of the signs of Nitya Siddha, eternally liberated person. So we are very fortunate that we have achieved, some of you have achieved personal association of Srila Prabhupada. And those who have not achieved personal association, Prabhupada has so mercifully given his association in the form of his books and so many wonderful lectures, his conversations, and all the glories to Prabhupada's disciples who have nicely documented everything for the future generations. Because I remember when I was very small, that time when I came to know about Prabhupada, so my brother used to play tapes of Prabhupada, and I used to think that Prabhupada is alive, like Prabhupada is on the planet. And that was just the thinking of a small little boy. And when I found out that Prabhupada has left, I was very sad. And then, then I understood, because I did not know much about the philosophy, but then I understood that still there is Vani Sangha, that we can associate Srila Prabhupada through his Vani, through his wonderful books, through his wonderful lectures, and through all the conversations. So, in the conclusion, in the Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, Krishna describes the tree of material world, which is upside down. And Krishna also explains how to cut down that tree. So Krishna says that you should cut down that tree with the weapon of detachment. And that is the real concept of regulative principles. We are detaching ourselves from illicit sex, from gambling, from meat eating, and from intoxication. So that is the real concept of, you know, one should keep oneself in good company and detach from all the bad association. And Krishna says, Nirmana Moha Jita Sanga Dosha Adhyatma Nitya Vinivritta Kama Dvandvair Vimukta Sukhadukha Saudne Gachanti Amudha Padam Avyayam Tat. The real intelligent person will take his steps towards that eternal kingdom of God where there is eternal life. And the real intelligent person will not take interest in the dualities, sukha dukha saudhnya, you know, dualities of happiness and distress of this world. So I will stop here. But anybody has questions? Raghupati Babu.
Thank you, Prabhu. That was a great class. Thank you. You mentioned in the class about how the Mayavadis, the highest they can achieve is going to the Brahma Jyoti. So I'm trying to understand. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes how the yogis, you know, they have a process by which they can merge into the Brahman effulgence, right? So are these Mayavadis, do they have a process? I mean, are they yogis simultaneously? In other words, how is it that they can go to the Brahma Jyoti? Also, you mentioned in your class about how you quoted that verse about Mayavadi, Sunila, you know, how they're the greatest defenders. So how is it that these greatest defenders can wind up in the Brahma Jyoti?
So Brahma Jyoti is a place where, you know, Mayavadis can go because that's their desire. They want to merge and they want to be God. They want to merge in the body of the God. But that is not possible. So, and their idea is, their desire is to somehow get rid of all the anxieties, all the miseries.
But what are they doing to qualify for that?
Krishna fulfills their desire. They just want to get rid of their distress, and they want to get rid of all the anxieties, and they want to be alone, and they want to be aloof. That's their desire, and that's why they perform all those penances, austerities, and meditation. So Krishna mercifully fulfills those desires. Like it is said that nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidadhati kaman. Krishna mercifully fulfills those desires. But it is not Krishna's desire. Like sometimes a merciful father, if the child comes and says that, I am your son, I want some portion of your property, that doesn't please the father. But the father may say, okay, you are son, and legally, you know, if you want, I can give you some part. But that's not the desire of the mother and father. The mother and father, they want the child to lovingly serve and own everything.
No, I understand the psychology, I think. I was specifically asking about what their process was. You seem to touch upon it, so they perform great penances and austerities. As I'm trying to understand, what's the qualification of somebody who's considered by Lord Chaitanya as the greatest defenders? What are they doing? What's their qualification? How, you know?
The qualification is that they want to be God. Itself is the offense. It's like Ravana. Ravana wanted to enjoy Mother Sita, right? He was lusty for Mother Sita. And that means he wanted to take position of Lord Ram. So that's why the behavior of Ravana is very condemned, is very, you know, sinful. The same way the Mayavadi person wants to take position of Krishna. And they want to be God and they want to enjoy.
But why should they be elevated just because they want it? And that's like, you know, say somebody wants to be Bill Gates or somebody, you know, they have to have some, you know, you could want something, that's one thing, but you have to be qualified to be awarded it. What's their qualification for being awarded with,
the qualification
is an elevated spiritual position?
Yeah. It's not the elevated spiritual position. That's the actual conclusion, that it's not the real goal. And you're talking, why do they have, why are they given that chance, right?
Yeah.
What is the qualification? The qualification is their austerities. Like we see, Hiranyakashipu was rascal from the birth. Everybody knew that he is bad. And everyone knew that Ravana is bad. But they perform penances, they perform austerities, and for it's like a trade. I have this much money and I want this in return. So it's like, because of their penances, because of their so much of meditation and practice, they are awarded that position. But Prabhupada calls it as escapist because they neither want to be in the material world and rectify and reform themselves and go back to spiritual world, nor do they want to serve Krishna in Vaikuntha. That's why a third place is given to them. It's like escape, you know, something that is, they don't want either of the parts. So Krishna gives them a type of freedom that if you don't want to serve me in Vaikuntha, at the same time you don't want to go to reformation and don't want to come back in Vaikuntha, then just stay there. So that's like that. Any other question? Mataji has one comment or question. Then we'll stop.
It isn't a question, it's just something that happened the other day that helped me understand, give me some insight into what Mayavadis are like. Although these people are probably not pure Mayavadis, but I was trying to chant japa in the morning in the temple, and there were two people sitting and doing hatha yoga. And I walked up there, Aditi was there, she saw them. And they were laying down and doing poses and going through all, they had long black hair and top knot, very, very skinny. And I went to them, I said, I'm sorry, in Krishna's temple, we just don't lay down on the floor. And I thought I would tell them something about chanting japa, but when they looked at me, the look was so harsh that I thought, I can't even say anything about Krishna's holy name. This isn't, I'm not going to do that. So then they said, oh, okay, all right. And then they started to do their hatha yoga poses without laying down on the floor. And then, so I thought, this is very strange. And then I tried not, it's very distracting. So I tried not to look at them. But then when they got up to leave, it was like 40 minutes later, they went over to the picture of Yashoda and Krishna, and they were looking at it together. And all of a sudden, he made this grimace on his face, and he made this like gesture with his hand, like, this is nonsense. And then they marched out of the temple. So I thought, wow, they've taken Krishna's yoga system, but they hate Krishna, you know. And Krishna is the, you know, he's the controller of yogis, but he's still receiving hate from them, even though they're taking advantage of what he's given them. I was like shocked, you know. Anyway.
So I'll end up with this. Prabhupada said that Mayavadi means somebody who is committing spiritual suicide. In this world, if someone commits suicide, naturally the mother and father, they get heartbroken, right? The same way when someone chooses to become a Mayavadi, someone chooses to enter Brahmajyoti, that hurts Krishna and Radharani. Prabhupada said that. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Ki Jai.